We are back for the fall for What the Shuck. That means Mr. Excitement, Chris Dewar, and I are back together. This is Muddy River Sports Editor Matt Shuckman hanging out with the Bald Wonder, Chris Dewar. What's up, buddy?
So before we go anywhere, I have to admit that in 29 years of covering high school football and football practices and the fall,
yes,
I saw this year an invention, not by me, not by you, that I have never seen before that is absolute genius.
Okay, what's this?
This was concocted by Michelle Shuckman. This is the first day of school picture that Matt Shuckman took walking out the door to Camp Point. If there is not a lineup of these on your refrigerator from kindergarten on from now on, I am thoroughly disappointed. I can't believe you and I never thought of this ourselves.
Okay, so we were sitting at our house on Sunday night, and she's asking me about Monday. And I said, well, I'm going to get up early. I'm going to Camp Point. Then I'm going here. And she's like, I don't need to know all that. And then, okay, you don't. She's like, when are you going to be home? Okay, that's what I need to know. And I said, yeah, it's kind of funny. I said, you know, I've already started seeing the back to school pictures on Facebook. She goes, oh yeah, my friend. And she mentioned one of her friends and some kid, and one of their kids was going off to school already. And like, wow, they're starting school way early. And I said, yeah, you know what? It would be funny to post a back to football picture or something. She's like, we're doing it. And she got all excited, and so we did. And I've gotten mentions all over the place. It was a great idea on her part. It was funny, it was fun. And it got the day going.
You were an evil Knievel lunch pail away from being my all-time favorite hero.
Oh,
that
dude.
That was awesome.
Okay, so you bring up lunch pails.
Okay.
So growing up, I had the Snoopy lunchbox.
Okay, I was close.
Back in kindergarten and stuff.
Sure.
Our buddy Don Krim, senior columnist. Senior means old, by the way.
Yes, just, I know that. I hope he hears that. At my age.
mentioned, where's the Willie McGee lunchbox? Oh. If I had a Willie McGee lunchbox, I would bring it to work every day now.
Yeah, as well you should.
So I might have to do some eBay searching, if there is a Willie McGee lunchbox out there and someone knows about it, please contact me. That would make my day.
I'm going to date myself here, and I'm going to throw this out there, and about three people are going to know the reference. I had Hong Kong Phooey.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
That was my very first lunch pail. And if I could get that back, I would be the happiest boy in Quincy.
Now, see, my favorite cartoon growing up, my two favorite cartoons, okay, and I know one had a lunchbox, and I don't think I ever had it,
okay,
was Johnny Quest.
Well, yes. I have seen the Johnny Quest lunch
pails.
Yes,
I have, too. I didn't have one, but that... The other one was G-Force.
I was going to say, did Battle of the Planets / G-Force have a lunch pail? Oh, I don't know if they did.
But that is that might be my all-time favorite cartoon.
Well, and the fact that it was apparently such a thing that none of us knew later in life with the, it started in Japan and had its whole life beyond what we ever saw.
No.
Is just, it's so tempting to go and relive that, but I'm afraid I would be disappointed some 40 years later what it was and what I thought it was at the time.
I'm going to give you a little insight and to make you laugh, and people out there are just going to go, oh my gosh. But picture little Shuck.
Yes.
With his Tony Dorsett, Dallas Cowboys, 33
jersey on, yes.
His red afro.
Oh, yes.
Sitting on the picnic table, pretending that he's flying the Phoenix.
Well, as well you should be.
I mean.
Transmute, my man.
God, we are kindred spirits, aren't we?
We are. Well, it's scary.
If you had to pick a lunchbox today.
Ooh,
today. I think I have an idea what yours would be.
Yeah.
It would either be Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul.
It would be Better Call Saul with Saul right now in that god-awful suit. And the way that show is ending up is just awesome. But yeah, I would carry that to lunch every day and feel no shame about it.
I like it. Okay, so we were talking lunchboxes. We're talking, you know, back in the day type stuff. So here's my latest. Okay. Had the 16-year-old nephew with me in the truck.
Okay.
So obviously I listen to rock music.
Yes.
Pretty much nonstop. Twisted Sister comes on
with
I Wanna Rock. And I turned it up and I looked at him and I said, dude, this rocks. And he just looks at me and goes, no. Now, he's going to be a junior in high school.
Yes.
So we go about our business. He came over to the house, helped me do some work. We get done. We're going to go get something to drink. And you run a couple errands. I'm going to take him home. My single favorite song of all time.
Okay.
Def Leppard, Rock of Ages. You knew this. We've talked about this.
Okay.
So Rock of Ages comes on. So, of course, I turn it up. And I look at him again and go, okay, man, you got to admit this rocks. And he just turns his head and looks at me and goes, no. Where did I go wrong? Now, I say, where do I go? He likes Master of Puppets from Metallica.
Well, who doesn't? I mean, that if that's
you,
kind of.
But do you want to know why? Not because of the song.
Are you going to tell me it's because of the TV show on
Stranger Things? Stranger Things.
Well, as much as I want to curse
that. That's the reason
that,
though, he likes it.
As much as I want to curse that, I can turn on my pop radio today and hear Kate Bush doing Running Up the Hill. I couldn't do that when that song was in its heyday. Yeah. So it's a weird juxtaposition that Stranger Things has caused in this world.
It has, but. And you know what I did today when I got in the truck?
What did you do, my friend?
I turned on rock music and heard Van Halen, and I rocked out, and I don't care if my 16-year-old nephew thinks I'm weird.
Quick aside on this one.
Yes.
The most educated, smartest man I know in this planet, Carson Dewar.
Okay.
Wonderful social studies teacher over at Jacksonville High School.
No question.
2 years ago, we are sitting in the car, and Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch come on, and Angie and I are losing our minds yes. in the front seat. And the smart aleck in the back seat goes, well, what do you think ever happened to Marky Mark? I went, he's Mark freaking Wahlberg, yes. the biggest actor on the planet. And know your role.
He's got more money than you'll ever dream of there, Mr. Carson Dewar.
Yeah, and I got an O. So with the one victory I get over the genius at
That's
this particular
awesome.
Point, yes.
Well, we've talked a lot of non-sports stuff. I guess we should talk a little sports stuff here since we are on MuddyRiverSports.com, and this is the What the Shuck podcast.
Perchance we should.
So what the shuck is going on these days? Anything?
Well, so far, what I can tell you is it's glorious to have work. It's yes. glorious to feel like a contributing member of society again, because I spent the last month doing nothing and realizing that if I someday retire, I'm going to need a hobby. But yes, it's nice to be back at work. You and I are on the grind constantly, which yep. is fun again.
And we're seeing each other along the way.
We've
both hit up similar spots this week, and that'll continue to happen.
It's a good thing. I mean, it's just, and it's always fun just to kind of re-engage. I mean, we're blessed with such wonderful human beings that coach in this area. And
yes.
not just the head coaches, but assistants that we've come to know
along
the way. And just to catch back up and to hear their enthusiasm for making young people better kind of makes you realize that this job is more than just sports. It's feeding the culture, which is what we love to do.
So you'll get a kick out of this. As we sit here and tape this show, I had gone to Quincy High soccer practice this morning. And they've got new practice shirts.
Okay.
It's warm out. It's not overly hot out. The weather's been great for these high school athletes the first few days.
Yes.
But it's not overly hot out. But they're soccer players. They're really fit. They're running around. They take their shirts off like it's nothing and run around and practice.
Surely.
Coach Bridle made them put their shirts on since I was taking pictures so that they would look more professional. And so a couple of them looked over at me. Note, realizing I was taking pictures and gave me thumbs up or a peace sign or something. It was quite funny.
I believe I saw the social media attached
yes.
to that moment. So
that was Monday. That was pretty funny.
And please, boys, keep your shirts on for interviews. The viewing public, as much as you think you look good, prefers to see you be shirted.
There's some truth to that.
Yes.
So, but no, a great start to the first week of the fall. And I think we're already getting some storylines building. And as we sit here and talk, I know you and I are going to be headed different directions the next few days, but I know you've already touched on one and I haven't been there yet, but I think Pittsfield football is a storyline we're going to need to follow.
Yes. 70 guys almost in
wow.
camp, which is phenomenal. You know, and Zach Ferguson knew this was coming when he took on the program. He knew his alma mater was going to be a super hard rebuild just because of the nature of the entrenched
True.
Struggles that it's gone through. But last year they won 4 games.
Yes.
And when you go 4-5 in that conference, that is a huge accomplishment.
And that conference, there's no gimmies.
I had a chance to sit down this summer with Aaron Coons, who's probably best known around here for ending what should have been Quincy Notre Dame State Football Championship back in 2019.
Yes.
With that classic game against Williamsville. And Aaron told me essentially that, you know, he saw so many good things from Pittsfield during the course of their game last year that he hadn't seen out of that program since they joined the conference, that wow. he was pretty heartened that they were going to be a turnaround team. And sure enough, you know, they're still tweaking with that defense because that has been a problem mm-hmm. since way back to Don Bigley.
Yes, yeah, no doubt about it.
But the offense is fun. It's exciting. It's dynamic. They've got a senior quarterback and a sophomore quarterback who are both really dynamic kids. They can play both. They've got kids who can catch the ball all over the field, and they've got a line that actually looks like an offensive line that you would see at a Moroa Forsyth. So this is the really nice juxtaposition that has taken place with Pittsfield football, and I think that is going to be – you know, I mentioned them. I got to them late. I mentioned to you I thought Macomb was one of those teams that was like that.
Right.
I think if you're talking about ascendant teams, I also think now Pittsfield is on that trajectory.
Well, and you and I have talked. I'm going to hit up those two. I haven't hit them up yet. I will be headed those directions. Jack Duncan,
yes,
quarterback at Macomb,
yes.
And the great thing about this area, so you mentioned Pittsfield. We've mentioned Jack Duncan, the quarterback at Macomb. We could mention Colby Word at Brown County.
Sure,
there's a number of players at Camp Point Central, including the one standout returnee and Isaac Gennebacher.
Right.
Never mind Nick Moore, who's.
Who's done pretty well
for himself. Done a great job at quarterback and is there again. But obviously, everybody goes to Aeneas Williams.
Yeah.
And understandably so. He is the most recruited player in this area, maybe in this area's history.
I would agree, yes.
Okay. But there are so many other players in this area who are going to have huge impacts on the success of their teams. We don't want people to forget about them.
Well, and that's the point I tried to make when we kind of did our initial player rankings, which will shift, obviously, when they happen, and they're online now. But, you know, in any other year, you and I would be thankful as all get out to have Keaton Pennewell as our number one guy on the board because he is an absolute stud.
Oh, no question.
And we haven't seen a linebacker like that in this area since
he's the Monroe City linebackers. Yes.
And the only difference is he doesn't have a Division I college in his backyard with a bunch of people who know the coaches saying, take a chance on this kid because he's worth it. But if you've seen the Pennewell legacy over the years,
no question.
They are incredibly pedigreed with what they've been able to do in terms of football and sports, and he's the best of the lot. And David Kirby will tell you that he's not seen a linebacker like this who just hunts and reads so naturally. So, I mean, and that's just the start of it. I mean, we have two legitimate player of the year candidates before you even blink who both have been recognized before their senior years at the highest level of their sports.
No question. It just makes it fun. And you bring up Pennewell. There's another kid on Monroe City I'm excited to see because his dad created the pedigree.
Yes.
And he's following suit.
Whoa. His dad and his mom. And his let's not get Carrie Chindegrave angry at us because
I was hoping
she was the athlete in the family.
Well, yeah, she was the athlete. Tony was
the killer.
There you go. Okay. I was trying to find the right word there. Thank you. But Waylon DeGrave is who I'm talking about. And
he's a D1 kid, Matt.
He is.
If you look at him right now, he is every bit a Division I kid. The growth spurt he went through last year. I mean, you just look at the way he's built now with those thighs. And I watched him when he was kind of long jumping and just how much easy explosion he gets. He got a ball from Reese Bulig in practice the other day that there is no other kid in our area who's long enough and has that kind of snap with his quick twitch muscle fiber that could make that catch. He is unique and interesting and changing positions, which makes, you know, and to me, this is what I thought was probably the most interesting discovery so far of the Barnstorm Tour. David Kirby has retooled his entire offensive backfield, and it looks good in the absence of Joshua Talton. You know, they've been building for a long time for Cam Jones to come.
Yes.
You still have Keaton Pennewell back at the fullback position, and now you've got Waylon DeGrave at the halfback position with Landon Unterback moving out to tight end. They've done some pretty amazing things, and Bulig can spin the ball. It's a long delivery.
Okay.
But he can spin the ball, and he's a heck of an athlete, as you well know.
Yes.
Really interesting.
And I think what's interesting is the way they can use DeGrave in that halfback role. It's not going to be, here's the ball, run it. They're going to get it to him in a variety of ways. Pennywell's going to be your guy right up the gut who's going to run over people. Cam Jones is going to be able to do a lot of things. I mean, again, it's going to be interesting. They're going to be very good.
They are, and people forget they bring back seven guys on defense, six of whom who aren't Keaton Pennewell, but an entire defensive line that's spotlighted by Landon Holland, who is just a grinder.
So, obviously, we both have a lot of schools still to get to.
We do.
As we prepare for this, and I know you're dropping your Barnstorm Tour stuff every day. We're going to be dropping here at Muddy River Sports an online preview magazine on August 23rd.
Awesome.
So you'll see different football stories before then, but the bulk of them are going to be part of that magazine. So we're not – if you look at it and go, hey, he hasn't written about that team yet or that team, understand, we're going to be putting together an online thing that is free that you can download, you can look at. It'll be there all year. You can go back to it, check it out. You know, we'll have as much info as we possibly can jam into it.
And a shout out to Muddy River for that, because as somebody who's done that before,
yeah,
as you well know, but the people out there don't, it is a massive undertaking. It is most of your waking hours. Good luck with that, Chuck.
Thank you.
I wish you well, but
I'll get it done.
What else did you have to do, really?
I'll get it done. Don't worry. That's the fun part of this. And obviously we've talked a lot of football already, but then we got a whole list of things to counterbalance that, because there's a ton of fall sports going on.
Can you believe that golf starts tomorrow?
It's crazy, isn't it?
It seems really early, but hey, I'm not going to complain.
No, and it'll be interesting because the D.A. Wyburn Invitational out at Westview Golf Course will have a bunch of area kids. So we're going to get to see a lot of the area kids right off the bat, and in your case, get some video, my case, get some photos, to then when we talk more in depth about them as the year goes on. I believe you're doing your Student Athlete of the Weeks again this year.
Yes, we will, starting October 1st.
There you go. So, you know, you'll have some video if a golfer pops up on that, or you'll get out to some volleyball matches early. So if that's the case in those regards.
Provided the Russians don't hack me again, absolutely, Matt Chuck, but I will have video. He says with his fingers crossed.
But for you and I, and I've said this on our other platforms, and we'll promote it here as it gets going, we're going to be doing things called the Prairie State Profile, which will drop every Tuesday, and then the Show Me Spotlight, which will drop every Thursday. So Tuesday will highlight an area student athlete. Thursday will highlight a Missouri student athlete from our coverage area. You do the same. You do the Student Athlete of the Week. You've got Doerisms. The Sensational Seven.
And the fall tempo is changing for us, because a lot of the guys that we and gals that we went to on the regular for storylines, like the Delaney Strausses and the Miles Shepherds, are gone.
Right.
So who's going to fill that vacuum, which I think is a really interesting storyline in and of itself.
I do too. And the fun part of what you and I do is we'll run into people who will say, hey, did you know this about this kid? And next thing you know, you're talking to the kid. Next thing you know, it's like, wow, this is a great story.
It is, yeah.
And a lot of times it's just that idea. Hey, did you know about this? No, I didn't. Let me talk to him. And next thing you know, you got a great story, and then somebody else sees it and reads it. It's kind of like, I just wrote a thing on Michael Longo, trekking from coast to coast.
I saw that. That was great.
If nobody tips me off to that, I don't know about it.
Right. And that's our life's blood.
This business
is, you know, sometimes it just comes obliquely to us. You're in a conversation at a restaurant and somebody brings something up, and you're right. It starts as simply as, did you know? And you've won, gosh, I don't know how many award-winning pieces you've turned from a did you know, but most of them stem from that, Matt.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, let us know. Let both of us know. If you got a night, you can find us both on social media rather easily.
Yeah, we are not anonymous by any stretch of the imagination.
So what else are you looking forward to as we get going? Is there anything that jumps out at you from the first 3 days you've been around athletes that you go, okay, I can't wait to see how this develops?
Well, I was surprised everywhere I've been by something along the way to this point. I was very pleasantly surprised by the size of the Mark Twain Tigers.
Okay.
I mean, we all knew Lakota Preston was going to be something special.
No question. Going in,
but I got a chance to watch Clayton Turnbull, which was a story I wasn't expecting to become a story. This is a 4.0 kid who's worked his tail off, who helps coach, you know, the little kids at Mark Twain. In fact, he was taking guff from Coach Epperson at practice for running them into the ground on the sled. And his answer was, well, if you don't make them love the sled, they can't be linemen. I don't ever remember loving the sled as a lineman.
No.
But God bless Clayton Turnbull for feeling that way. But, I mean, you know, and I went in there to do a Coleman Epperson story, because here's a kid who's, you know, putting up Weston King-type numbers but is, like, 180 pounds.
Right.
So, you know, it's just like you get there and all of these kind of stories branch off. So, as far as football goes, everywhere we go, something new and neat has kind of availed itself. And, you know, that doesn't stop with the high school level. Found out this week that Caden Selly has already moved up to number two on the depth chart at tackle at Western Illinois. As a true freshman who started recruited as a guard. They think enough of him now that they think that this is a kid that if he continues to develop now 279 pounds from the 250 he was at Hannibal, they think he's a kid who could be an All-American for them down the road.
That's amazing. One unfortunate thing that we both have dealt with is that there will be a one-game suspension for Palmyra coach Kevin Miles. You and I both had the chance to talk to him. I love the approach they're taking to it. You know, if you read my story at Muddy River Sports, I know you'll have stuff from him. But it's like, look, we built this thing on trust. trust each other, trust the process, trust. He goes, I trust my coaches. I trust my players. They'll get us through one game. Just trust each other. And I think any turmoil that could come with any sort of disciplinary action, whether it's a coach, player, administrator, whatever it is, it's how you go about handling it and how you teach your kids to handle it. And I think Kevin Miles is doing a fantastic job of teaching his kids how to handle adversity.
You're a coach, you're a teacher, everything is a learning experience, yep. And you should use it as that, and that's exactly what they're doing. Now, I also think it's a learning experience for all of the other coaches out there, because we expect coaches to be omniscient and to know everything that's going on in their program at every moment, and I know that in some ways seems impossible, but responsibility is a really weird thing in this day and age,
yes.
Especially as litigious a society as we've become. So if you're another coach out there, I don't think anybody's going, oh, Kevin Miles got it. No, they all know they're susceptible because one moment looking the wrong direction, something bad could happen within your program and you're culpable. So
And it doesn't matter if it is a locker room situation, which is what this is.
Right.
This was, whether it's something that happens on Friday night after the game when your kids are hanging out at somebody's house.
Surely.
It could be anything, because there's the one overriding factor in all this is everybody lives their life on social media these days.
They do.
So you never know who's got a phone, a Snapchat, a something out. So you could be four guys in a car doing something stupid and somebody takes a Snapchat of it, and next thing you know, all four players are in trouble or all four students are in trouble. So the kids have to realize that as well as the coaches.
And you're never not a Palmyra Panther, or you're never not a Quincy Blue Devil, or a Quincy Notre Dame Raider. You are always that when you put on that shield, that helmet, that moniker, because that's how people see you. And it doesn't just reflect on you and your parents, which it reflects on the program.
They may see your name on the back of your jersey, yeah. But they see the name on the front of the jersey first.
That's exactly how they quantify you in this society.
Yeah.
And everybody knows everything. And it was funny because there was a rumor about a very good football player who was talking about leaving. And I got a chance to see him within the last couple of days and moving out of state. And I said, I'm glad to see you here. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, there's nothing in this town that's a secret. In any of these towns that's a secret. We all know. So you know exactly what I mean. So, you know, it gets out there. So remember that. That's just a really important thing to remember if you're a young person.
For those kids in Palmyra who are going to be without their head coach for game one, I applaud the assistant coaches. I applaud Kevin Miles for the way they have rallied together in the moments that this has been released to the public and said, this is how we're handling it. And then we move on. There's no finger pointing. There's no scapegoats, nothing. It's we made a mistake. We're handling it. We're changing things. We're moving on. We're doing it together.
Well, and it's a learning experience.
Yes. And I credit them for that.
Absolutely. And that will be an interesting task, because Palmyra really does have a tough start to the schedule.
Three straight road games.
Yeah, Bowling Green, Hallsville, Centralia, and then Macon, who's really good.
Yeah, Macon's the home opener.
Yeah, with Michael Lanier coming over, which is no small task for that defense either.
So, but I know. I know these teams are still going to continue to get after it, whether there's an off-the-field issue, on-the-field issues. What we've seen from the teams in our area is everybody's hungry right now.
They are, and it's a beautiful thing, because we've seen from Hannibal, we saw from Bowling Green and North Shelby last year, that it's possible here to make a run at a state championship. We almost saw it from Monroe City, because if the second half at Hayti didn't go the way it did, they're probably in a state championship game. The windows are so small and rare in this world. If you have it, you have to maximize it. I think that's why everybody fights so hard, Matt.
And I think we're going to have a lot more of those conversations as we move forward. And I can't wait to talk about more of those conversations as we get deeper into the season and get to know these kids and these coaches a little better and see what they're capable of. I think you and I are going to have a lot to talk about as the season progresses.
Well, we're going
to
be weekly now. If I'm not here, you're going to be over at my
place.
So we're going to get back on the grind, because feel better and I have technology again.
So next week, you won't see Dewar or listen to Dewar on What the Shuck. But I'll be joining him at KHQA.
Yes, you'll be on the podcast next week for the Dewarisms podcast. And I'm going to have Matt break it down. I'm going to have him break down his top five for me in the area at that point. And maybe his top five players. And, you know, I know we all know who number one is, and that's important. But I think the difference that Matt and I may have in those one or the two through five spots might be interesting.
Well, it's almost like we go, okay, here's one.
Yeah.
Okay, now give us one through five of everyone else.
Because
nobody's going to argue that Aeneas Williams is the best player in the area.
No, you can't.
I mean, good Lord. He's got an offer from Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, and Ohio State and all the, you know.
Notre Dame.
I mean, there's just, there's no question. He is special. So when you start talking of who else do you want to see? Who else do you want to look at? Who else could elevate their team? Then we're going to have some really interesting conversations.
I think we will. And you and I know that when we start talking, it doesn't stop.
No, and I know we got to wrap up the podcast here shortly, but we could go on and on and on and on.
That's what we do.
It's awesome, and I'm glad we're back doing it.
I am too. I look forward to this, and I was glad that we got a chance to get hooked up today because I missed this during the dog days, and now it's fun to kind of breathe life back into it.
No question about it. And again, thanks for coming down to the Muddy Buddy Studio and hanging out with me.
Always a pleasure. And you know what? Next time we meet, I also have an oblique, obscure, old-school Dallas Cowboy riff for you that I want to share.
Sweet.
That involves Ashton Watts.
Oh, wow. Yes. All right.
So I've been working on this for a while.
Sweet. I can't wait.
For your benefit.
I can't wait. Well, we'll catch up next week on the Doerisms podcast.
Absolutely.
And 2 weeks from now, you'll be back here with me.
Sounds like a plan, my man.
Awesome, buddy. That's Chris Doer. I'm Matt Shuckman. This has been What the Shuck, the podcast. Join us next time.